grass on her cheeks, her hands hanging empty against her dark robe. Far are your arms from me. I am brittled. I am bone cold. Across the groaning ice, a faint flicker, a lantern in the whaler's galley, pinprick of yellow in the cold glitter of moonlit flows. Long will this winter be. The conductor lowers his baton. The man beside me is, I think, clapping. Everyone is clapping. There is salt on my face. There is the creaking of the hull. There is the song of a whale. And now, it was cancer that my sister had, and I don't know whether others relate to this, but I bet you do. Sometimes you need to go cognitive before you can go affective, you know. You've got to get it up here before you can get it here. And this is a form poem. And as a form poem, it's very rigid. It has a lot of repetition in it. And it is about a book I read when I was trying to deal with cancer called The Emperor of All Maladies. It written by Siddhartha McGurkey, and it's a wonderful book. It was way beyond me, but I could get a lot of it. It's thick, it's learned, and that's the title of it, The Emperor of All Maladies. And so this poem's called Profligate Ruler. It's writing a poem like this with so much repetition, it almost seems when you're writing it, even when you finished it, that it's trying to get to a different place at the ending, but it can't because it's a form poem and it's based on repetition. So here we go. His scepter has bejeweled you. Lesion, tumor, spot. The emperor of all maladies has set his gems in you. In your body's grand mechanics, his cabochons are caught. His scepter has bejeweled you. Lesion, tumor, spot. The CT scan, the MRI, his bijoux must be sought. While each day flies us chiffon skies of sheerest heartbreak blue. His scepter has bejeweled you. Lesion, tumor, spot. The emperor of all maladies has set his gems in you. And then the penultimate poem is also a new poem. And I've mentioned my husband before. I don't think I would be reading this poem if he were here tonight, but I'm going to read it to you because he had a little brush with the deadly the gift of the emperor too, but he went through a course of radiation, and right now he's fine, but it's like Susan said, her brother's kayaking, he's doing something tonight too, but at this point he was suffering through a course of radiation. So it's called Recessional. You lean on the lawnmower's handlebar, heavy-headed as a comma, a few tall inches forfeit to fatigue's curve. Your progress in the grassy aisle is brave and grave and slow as a pavon, wearily triumphal on the new shorn turf. I want the boy you were at 9, crew-cut, striped-shirted, racing your soapbox down St. Patrick's straight steep hill, your pals and parents at the finish yelling for their Mario Andretti, your heart a good red valentine that will find me in another dozen years. Late this morning, thin and pale, still in pajamas. You toyed with a triangle of toast. I see your geometry young, the delta of your torso, one child across your width of shoulder, two others gamboling by your long, lean legs along the lake-bound path. The lawnmower, brick red, with two self-powered wheels, cuts a lush green allée for your recessional. I want joyous chords crashing down from the organ loft, my satin sleeve in the crook of your arm, us turning to trip the long, long nave and greet our friends and families, and through the church's open doors, white mock orange blooms, and over the rooftop chimney pots across the street, a handkerchief of blue. You lean on the mower to help it turn and pull you into another row. The flying, falling blades of grass, your shoes rich stained with emerald, symbol of treasure you spent in the corridor's cut. You look up from the row and see me watching. Smile your crooked, valorous smile. I want the longest row. I want you always in it. And when I read that poem, I just want to refer to a line from another poet who's in this store right now, over there, when he said he wishes that we would be able to read aloud a memory fearlessly made public to praise. And I figure, you know, that's kind of what I just tried to do. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
And just my last poem, this is maybe just something to help you realize how well my husband still is, especially the very last lines of it. So it's called, it really starts with grandparents, which is kind of interesting because I started with a grandchild, but my grandfathers. Sounding patrimonies, my grandfathers, bashing through the elements, going fast away, unslowed by heavy freight and drag of human traffic, were vehicles. One, a Great Lakes steamship, threading ambulance of locks, Quebec City to the Sioux. One, a locomotive engine hurtling travelers down the corridor, Montreal to Windsor. They weren't endearment murmurers. Their iterations were talk talk of fiery boilers, shrieks of the piston freeze, wailing and whistling, hello, goodbye, thunks of the freighter's masts on wharves and canal walls. They smelled of coal and tar and fish and forest, chugged and churned and clacked. They sailed like legends into the new century, brave, headlong, going fast away. Now I am old, my own man, seven times a grandfather. He is a mule, boasts of it, the family mule, clip-clopping children from choir to dentist to dance. Being modern, I pretend he is an Uber, always ready for any trip, fares paid in solid sterling from the bank of grandchild love.
I feel full. Thank you to all four poets. And if you're willing, maybe there are people who have listened who have questions or thoughts they'd like to share. And I'm happy to moderate it, or you can just talk to the person that you want to talk to who can stand up when they are talked to. I could make you all come to the front, but should I make them all come to the front? Yeah, make them all come to the front. Okay. I've just been instructed, you four.
Oh,
okay.
Let's go.
Liz and Susan,
I thought
Sheila and Kelly.
People asking the questions.
Oh, well, no. We'll make them come to the front. We'll make them come to the front, too.
That would keep them back.
Sorry, no, we're going to hold them back. Any comments or thoughts for any or all of these poets?
Linda. Liz, could you tell us about the L30 atrium and how that all works?
It is a magical place, as perhaps some of you have heard. The Alperdi A-frame is in Ameliasburg in Prince Edward County, and it was more or less his home for much of his life, although I think he liked to travel, and it was not a hospitable place to live in the winter, although he did sometimes do that as well. And while he lived there, it became a kind of gathering place for everyone who was in Canadian literary things. Margaret Atwood, Michael Odante, all the names that you know. They visited and were there, and I think mostly drank Al's homemade wine, which was apparently terrible. But I guess magical artistic things also happened. And so, yes, I am living there for 6 weeks, and the place is still kind of like a museum. It's got a jacket of Al's hanging in the bedroom, and it's got Al's mom's china in a cabinet, and it has the spirit of Al Purdy and all of those other folks in there. And so it's conducive to writing, although I won't say that everything I've written there is worthy. It's a place that has a kind of a feeling. And I'm enjoying it. Does that answer your question? I think that if you are a writer and you would like to experience the Alperdi A-frame, I believe that they take applications for residencies. I don't know when the deadline is or was for next year, but you can go onto the Alperdi A-frame Association website, and I'm sure you can find out how you get in there. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
It's all right. My name is Leela.
Leela.
Yes. Just want to say thank you to all. And I am a friend of Sheila Stewart. But this isn't a question just for you, Sheila. I just love when poets come together and you may have had conversations, but I've not been privy to them. And so when I see connections in your work, some that I've read and some that I haven't, it always makes me really happy. So one of the words that just came to mind was how so much of what I read and experience from poets is their expressions or feelings about the present, you know, what strikes them. But so much of what I have heard today also brings memories of the past, and I'm sort of wondering about your thoughts about time and also about the future as opposed to the present and the past.
Oh, wow!
That's a good question.
Well, gosh. I think thoughts about time are endless, and it's interesting to me. I mean, I've had the privilege to travel in some other countries and realize that the time, the way we think about it and understand it here in sort of Western Canadian, whatever you want to call it, society, it's an artifice. It's a mental construct, and we give it a kind of reality that in many places it doesn't have. And for sure, being a poet helps with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I really try to kind of pull it apart so that past, future, present, I mean, it's all kind of right now. And somebody else can talk.
Well, one thing I have really thought about is how we all live our lives. We have thousands of times when something strikes us. And we never really know which ones of those memories are going to be the ones that just stick with us forever. Usually an image, I think for me, is something that I can picture that happened somewhere and it's very vivid, and I could go back there and smell the smells and hear the sounds practically, but I didn't know at that moment that that was
one of those moments. And I think that's remarkable, and I'm sure that happens to everybody. So, you know, if you were looking for inspiration to write a poem, you might go back and find one of those moments that you didn't, you know, it bypassed you at the time, but it's just there. I think that's remarkable.
It's one of the things I really appreciate about your poetry, Liz, is you, like, she is in a very intense period of mothering, I would say, three small children, and she's able to, like, pull out these moments and images, and, well, as you heard, she does all kinds of things with them, but it's the clarity of that in the midst of a kind of crazy day that, it's just one of the things.
Thank you. I write about time in relationship to my kids, and mostly I'm writing about how either time is going way too slow, and then in the next moment, it's going way too fast. And so I think when we write about time, maybe we're trying to hold on in one way or another to make it palatable when it's too slow, and to catch those moments when they're just whizzing by us. Yeah.
It's a really interesting question, Lisa.
Yeah.
Thanks for being my friend. Putting us on the spot. I think, you know, there was something you mentioned, Callie, about images, and I think for me it's also kind of words and phrases come up. So Kingston is one of these places that's full of resonance for me, because I came here to go to Queens in the late 70s, and then there's another friend, Kathy, and we had somehow this incredible time because we worked in Mountain Grove and we drove up and back. Uh-huh. I was the teacher's aide, Kathy was the teacher, and we became sort of partners, but we talked for hours 5 days a week. And when I think of it, like, that was maybe my best working, like, wonderful teaching. Like, there's something interesting about that time. But to me, yeah, time, space, like, it's so related to place. Mm-hmm. So I come into Kingston, and then I'm just full of different people and memories. The time is, but I also really liked what you said about I guess I translated into, like, a kind of the commodification of time that we, you know, another, you know, we talk about spending time, and then I think poetry relates more to some kind of deep time or a different sense of being. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
I was wondering if each of you could, like, give me a little bit about your sense of, I guess it's sort of why you write, but in what ways is poetry sustaining? In what ways is it, like, a responsibility? In what ways, you know, how do you view it in that, you know, about that? I'd be interested to really hear that.
I never intended. I personally never intended to be a poet. It happened to me, I think, and I have always been a writer. Ever since I have, like, a little book which I treasure. That it's my first little journal when I was five, and it has a little poem in it that says, "My name is Susie Wismer. I live in Coburg. I want a dog." And so I've gone on from there. But there's something for me in poetry about the spaces between the words that draws me in again and again and keeps me going back for more. So that's certainly one of the things. And it is an avenue for me to a level and kind of depth and truth that is difficult sometimes to get at in the strum and drang of everyday life. Mm. So that's certainly one viewpoint. Mm.
I am fascinated by language, and I feel just compelled to play with it. I think that would be mainly how I came to poetry. I'm interested in all kinds of writing. I think poetry fits right now mostly in my routine. Like, if I only have 30 seconds, it's hard to write a book. But yeah, I think it's just, it's fun. That would be my primary idea. I think also, though, there's something about, like, storytelling, any kind of writing we do, but poetry, too, it's an opportunity to tell a story. And I think that when we write, we are telling ourselves who we are, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to tell the story of our own selves in order to understand. I liked what you said about responsibility. Yeah. I don't know if I do that, but I think it's a good idea to also try and tell a story which is... speaks to other people or allows us to connect across borders and ideologies and whatever else. So yeah, that would be a good thing too.
Yeah, I would agree with Liz. Language for me was a very big pull. And even before I was really writing very much poetry, I really felt like there was something really important about the written word, that you can make it say exactly what you mean, especially if you have time. You know, you can, if it doesn't say exactly what you mean, you can make it say exactly what you mean. And, you know, in poetry, I feel like most poets distill a lot of, like, a big sort of cloudy idea into a few words that then you hope, as a poet, are accessible to a reader or a listener. I do think there is that responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could write journals and diaries that you didn't ever expect anyone to read, and you probably wish they wouldn't. But I think with poetry, you're kind of trying to communicate, so that's like a poet should try to give something to the reader, mm-hmm. something accessible. And language, you know, helps you do that. So... yeah, and I love it. When I have a draft started, even if it's crap, it just calls me. Like, as soon as I get a chance, I can go and sit down and play around with it a little bit. It's fun, like you say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think holding on to the fun is really important, because I feel like this question of responsibility is a really good one, I think, particularly at this time with mm-hmm. things like the climate crisis and the horrendous killing and starvation. But I go, like Liz, you talked about the 30 seconds. I started when I was expecting my first daughter, and then I really did have those little windows of time. It was back in the time of answering machines, and Rachel only ever slept for like half an hour at the most. So it's like I was talking to moms who did other tasks, and I just was like, I'm writing. So those little bits of time could be used in what seemed like a really good way. And then I'm sometimes sort of feeling like annoyed with myself. Oh, all I do is write about family. Yeah. One of my family members dies. I have to write a book about them. Like, you know, I would like to write more broadly, but it's kind of like our material is sometimes given to us, or it's what our obsessions are. And, we work with them. Sometimes, like I'd say this summer, I've been like, there's so many books in the world. Do I want to write another mm-hmm. book? Like, you know, I just want to read books and kind of have fun. And but I think it's gotten a hold of me now. So, like, I think I'm quite an irritable and unpleasant person when I'm not trying to write. And, you know, I can't really let go of it at this point. So I'm sort of, it's found me. We're stuck together. And, but I'm going to think about the responsibility.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
So I'm going to draw the formal evening to a close, and I hope that some of you will stay around and talk to these fine poets and buy their books. But I have to tell you that Lorna Crozier asked these poets the question, "Why do you write?" she asked me. And she put together a poem from, I think, a dozen responses, so I think this might be kind of a fun way to close. "Why do I write?" she asked me, by the Wintergreen Poets. "Because I am most at home with myself when I'm writing. because I loved my dad and my dad loved poetry. Because the light on the far wall contains my friend's shadow as she moves her head to better hear my voice. Because I don't see my life in the poems I read. Because I do. Because I was in love once and completely overwhelmed. Because without words, I'd be like Major Tom in the Bowie song, lost in space, unable to get back home. Because I want my children to know me. Because I love to build, and writing lets me build with words. Because reading is not enough. My hand needs a pen, my mind and spirit a blank page in order to know how to live. Because poems move me, awe me, make me feel like, oh yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming. Everybody, you're here.
Yay.
And you're listening to Finding a Voice. And this, when what you just heard began just a few minutes after 4 o'clock. And what it was and what you heard was from a September 3rd book launch and reading event held at Novel Idea Bookstore, emceed by Rena Upitas. And in it, you heard readings by 4 poets with connections to Wintergreen Studios, which is an environmental retreat center about an hour, I think, northwest of Kingston. All 4 poets had taken part at various times in an annual writing workshop retreat facilitated by poet Lorna Crozier. The poets you just heard were Liz Huntley, Jensk, Susan Wismer, Callista Markotich, and Sheila Stewart. And just a reminder that both hours of this show are uploaded. In fact, I upload them, in fact, to my personal blog space for the show at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. It is now about it's just over 27 minutes after 5 o'clock. My heartfelt thanks to all of you who have tuned into this first hour and nearly a half. Also to Rena, Liz, Susan, Callista, and Sheila for their wonderful contributions to the event. And, of course, Novel Idea Bookstore as well. You are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC again. My name is Bruce, and I have some music to play immediately after. I'll be sharing some information about upcoming events and calls for submissions. But the first thing I probably should do is do this, and I'll be right back in just a couple of minutes or so.
The Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
Oh, hey, Boomer, radio guy. You're looking pretty good. Long time no see.
Stack them eights, yo-yo. Feel free to let your tongue down and hammer away with words that make you feel good.
Okay, well, I'm not really sure what that means, but now that I've seen you, I wanted to tell you, I got my own radio show. It's on Saturday mornings from 8 till 10. It's called Making Bacon.
Hey, Beaver, the place to get help is on Channel 9, and I'll do a 10-5 about that motion lotion all over this here slab.
I don't know what that means, but I don't think you should be saying stuff like that.
Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down.
Okay, whoa, okay, look, it's just Saturday mornings from 8 until 10. Check it out, Making Bacon, CFRC 101.9.
Idle talk is a nuisance. Get out there and do it to it. Love and kisses.
And now, I believe, just a bit more officially, since we're now halfway through the second hour, a more standard greeting into it. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthersaw, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And again, you are listening to Finding a Voice. And again, I will mention that and probably do it again before the end of the show. But just a quick reminder that both hours of this show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. I put them there. We'll usually by about 7 o'clock, if I can, shortly after I get home. Will remain there for 3 years. And now with just a bit under a half an hour left, it is 32 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock. I'm going to share a couple of pieces of music. I mentioned I'd do that. I'm going to share a bit of information, and I also will share one more song at the very end of the show. But these first two songs are both off of the same CD, and I think I'm just going to play them, and I'll credit them after. How's that? Kind of a thing I do more often than not. So just let you hear them, and then I'll let you know what you heard. Here we go. Hope you enjoy it. And you just heard from a group called October Project, two songs off of their first album released in 1993. That's when I bought the CD, actually. I fell in love with it, and so I was introduced to it at a cafe, and so I picked it up shortly after. The songs you heard were called Return to Me and Take Me As I Am. I did check up on them a little bit. The group has taken a couple of, looks like, four-year breaks occasionally since then, but reformed and has continued to be active since 2010. Just a second. And their latest album was released in 2024, so still quite active. And the 2024 release is called Ghost of Childhood. The band now consists of just three members, and they are three of the original members, Julie Flanders, Marina Bellica, and Emil Adler. You can Google it, I guess, if you're at all interested, but I found it interesting. You are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM and at www.cfrc.ca. I do have several minutes now still to share some from a list of upcoming events and might get some calls for submissions as well. It is almost 44 minutes after 5 o'clock. Coming up on, in fact, this evening, there is a second Friday night of the month open mic event created and hosted by Abby Louise. And it says from their poster, this is non-judgmental space open to all ages and walks of life to listen to or share music, poetry, short stories, and we'll have 5 to 15 minutes to share. End quote. So it's happening at Next Church, which is at 89 Coburn Street here in Kingston. Doors open at 7. The event runs from 7:30 to 9 o'clock there. If you have any questions, you can contact. Here's the address, Abby Mioli, A-B-B-I-E-M-I-O-L-E-E at gmail.com. And see what else we've got here. Word Labs is a relatively new experience, offering writing workshops and other workshops at the. They're located at Kingston Literacy and Skills, which is at 16 Bath Street here in Kingston. They are offering right now. One thing they have is a peer writing group, which is biweekly. They have a date coming up. The next date is October 15th. And every 2 weeks, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. And then they also have another workshop, a four-part seminar, actually, coming up with Kersey Marie running it, and it's called Trauma-Informed Journaling. That's going to be Tuesday. It's going to happen on Tuesdays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. The first session of that is coming up on the 14th, and then it's, again, every 2 weeks. So the 14th and the 28th, and then in November, the 11th and the 25th. And coming up a little bit later, the following week, they are also offering, they just posted this comic book writing seminar with Colton Fox. That's going to begin on October 21st, and it looks like it runs 3 days in a row from 6 to 8 o'clock. Why don't you go to the website at www.wordlabs.ca, and you'll pick up all the information there. Also coming up, you just heard Liz Huntley Yentz. She and Wanda Pramsma will be hosting a writing and yoga two-day workshop that is from Liz's website. Deep Dive Workshop, this is quote, Deep Dive Workshop series exploring the intersecting practices of yoga and writing, designed to rejuvenate your writing practices and kickstart new or old projects. It's this two-day series will be part movement and meditation class and part writing workshop with various prompts, exercises, and opportunities to share insights and works in progress. It says students of all levels of writing and yoga are welcome. It's go for more information and to register. Go to... see, Liz Huntley, and let's spell that out. So L-I-Z is pretty easy. Huntley is H-U-N-T-L-Y. Jens is J-E-N-S-H-S, I'm sorry, C-H, .weebly.com/events. This does start next Saturday, October 18th. So not tomorrow, but the 18th. So it'll be held 18th and 25th from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. It's going to be held at Studio 330. So you could always drop by there, I'm sure, and find out more as well. So another thing happening on October 18th, a week from tomorrow, Brent Raycroft will be the inaugural reader with his reading at the quite new The Bookshop Annex in Tamworth. So most of you are probably familiar with The Bookshop. Now there's an annex on more of a main street. And it says about Brent Raycroft's reading, it says his work has appeared in magazines, journals, and anthologies. He lives with his family in Sydenham. And the book, they've got an IG, an Instagram page for the event. So www.instagram.com/p/DMCUN. Hey, the best thing to do is just go to Instagram and search on the bookshop's page, and you'll find the picture that has all the information on it as well. And we've got one more, and this is probably going to be my last. I might get two more in. Also happening on the 18th. 18th is a busy day, 7 p.m. So that evening, Sadiqa De Meyer will be launching and reading from her new book, an essay collection called In the Field. Reading with her will be James Carnes, author of In Crises, On Crises, and a collection of essays. So 7 p.m., Novel Idea Bookstore, 156 Princess Street, October 18th. Then coming up a week from next Tuesday, so on the 21st, it will be the Next Page Lecture. The best thing I can tell you to do is go to the Queen's Department of English Facebook page, and click on their October 9th post. It has all the event detail for that. So I'm just going to stop there now, just to be on the safe side and make sure I get everything else I need to do done before we go. So I hope I hope to see you at some of those events. So I do have a few more words to share with you before I leave, but I also need to do this, so let's do this first, and I'll be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licked in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And... right now, as we begin to sort of slide out of here and move into the next show, first of all, my heartfelt thanks to all of you for having tuned in to the book launch and reading event that took up the first three quarters of the show, and then also for this bit at the end with you, where you received a bit of information and got to listen to a bit of music as well. That doesn't happen as often as I'd like it to sometimes on this show, so it was fun to include that. I will say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. Just a quick reminder again is that I do upload both hours of my show each week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They will remain there for 3 years. And after this show ends, right after this song I'm going to introduce, please do stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. And then stay tuned after, right after that, 2 hours after that, starts to the new show called Salt Licked in Rapture. You just heard that introduced as well. Take us out of here. I'm going to play Feist off of her 2011 album. The album was called Metals, and the song is called Caught a Long Wind. I hope you all have a very wonderful holiday weekend, and hope you have a great week. And I look forward to catching you here again next week. Have a good one.
Unfolded, cut me along. like a swan.